Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
2 Kings chapter 2, verse 15. Through 25, 10 verses, the company of the prophets, New International Version, the company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, quote, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha, end quote. And they went to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him. Look, they said, we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley. No, Elijah replied. Do not send them. But they persisted, and he was too ashamed to refuse. So he said, send them. And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days but did not find him. And when they returned to Elijah, who was staying at Jericho, he said to them, didn't I tell you not to go? The men of the city, verse 19, said to Elijah, look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad, and the land is unproductive. Bring me a new bowl, he said, and put some salt in it. And they brought it to him. And he went out to the spring, and he threw the salt into it, saying, he did what? Saying, this is what the Lord says. I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained wholesome to this day, according to the word of Elijah, the word Elijah had spoken. Go to verse 23. From there, Elijah went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, some youths came out of the town and jeered him or mocked him. They said, go on up, you bald head. And he turned around and looked at them and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youth group. And he went on. I added group. He mauled 42 of the youths. It was a group. And he went on to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. Let's pray. Father, move in power as you have done thus far in the service. We have great expectancy that as your word goes forth, we would be impacted profoundly by what you say to us now. Give us living understanding, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Be humbled, Lord, before you. May all of us be humbled before you. And as you speak, I pray, burn in our hearts truth. Burn in our hearts like a fire. And may we be changed because of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We do have notes for you. We've been doing a series called the Coat of Glory, or the Cloak of Glory. And I tried to give it a cute title. I almost can't stand it. Might have to change it right in the middle of the... And that's Elijah right there. The Cloak of Glory. Week 3, responding to the Spirit. Responding to the Spirit. And I'll say this. How you respond to the Spirit of God will determine what happens to the rest of your life, even from this night forward. And you think, well, that might be kind of overstated. But your response to the Holy Spirit's working will determine your future. He said, well, I don't know about that. Well, I'm going to show you in the text and through perhaps stories as the Lord gives them to me. Little review of what's taken place. We talked about the prophet Elijah. And he defeats Jezebel and runs away from her threats. By the way, I want to say that the power of God is so strong that my eyeglasses got healed or something. I don't know how you 230 pounds of glory hitting that and they're not broken. It's amazing. Come on, you say, oh, that's not biblical. Well, your shoes didn't wear out for 40 years when they were in the Old Testament. It's possible. Needed a little bit of a... Oh, now I broke them, right? See, it's a perfect illustration. No, don't bother. Here you go. We're good. Lord, thank you for healing in my eyes right now. We've been doing a series. Thank you, son. We've been doing a series on the cloak of glory. This comes from... this decree. Go ahead and throw my decree up. This decree is from Jane Hammond, prophetess Jane Hammond. And I'd like to read it together. I'll emphasize this section that brought me to the series that we're in. Are you ready? Let's read it together. Ready, set, go. We decree today we are crossing. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Let's start over. Ready, set, go. We decree today we are crossing over into our new season of breakthrough here at Kings. We receive a new mantle for a new day. Say that again. We receive a new mantle for a new day. Say, make it personal. I receive a new mantle for a new day. Let's keep reading. For a new day. We're making way for the King of Glory to come here in Wasilla and throughout the state, and I would say throughout the nation. Leviathan is now under our feet. Resistance is broken and a fresh anointing is here. We decree we are yoke breakers, curse destroyers, because of the Holy Ghost lives in us. Souls will be saved. Bodies will be healed. Families will be reckoned. Prodigals will come home. This building will be paid off in record time because of all the financial miracles of the people. We receive our double portion mantle. Say that. We receive our, make it personal. I receive my double portion mantle. From this point forward, Jesus be glorified in all we do and say, in your name we decree it all. In Jesus' name, give a big shout to God. Say, what's with decrees? You see them throughout Scripture. And they're very powerful to make. And you hear me, if you've been around for any length of time, you'll hear me making them all the time. Here's one. It'll sound familiar. I'm going to live to 120 years old, preaching, praying, and prophesying. That's what I'm going to do. You've heard me say it over and over and over. I'm going to add, I'm going to live 120 years old with divine health, amen. Preaching, praying, and prophesying. So that's a decree, and we started this series. The first in the series was about this mantle of Elijah that he's run from Jezebel. He turns heel and goes to the mountain of God after having a meal from the Iron Chef angel who cooks for him. He goes in that strength, and not to minimize that section of Scripture, it's profound. He goes to the mountain of God, is most likely the mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments. They knew where that was. And he goes and he hides himself in the cave, very possibly the same cave. And he's talking to God and you know, the fire and the wind and the rocks and all that. And God wasn't in any of that. And then the still small voice. And they have this discussion, and you can go and read it. Have this discussion. I'm the last one. The Lord's like, no, you're not. There's 7,000 more. How many of you ever felt like you were the last one? Okay, you're not. There's 7,000 more. And he gives him instruction about what to do from there. But there's a section where he hides, as this voice comes, he hides his face in his mantle. The mantle was a picture of the calling of God. It was a picture of the calling of a prophet. It was a picture of the power of God. It's a picture of his identity. His identity was in God, and he was called to be a prophet. And that mantle is a picture of that, or that cloak of glory. If I can use a cute little saying that I don't like. I'm trying to be like relevant, and it just makes me want. I'm just going to change the name of this. Anyway. No, but seriously, if you name things that are catchy, people watch it more or listen to it. I should probably not care. At any rate, the cloak of glory. The cloak of glory was this coat of hair, a camel hair, perhaps. Maybe it was a sheepskin. We don't know. And you can see that it was a picture of his identity, a picture of his calling. He comes and he anoints three people. Actually, he just anointed one. Two others were anointed by other people, one of the sons of the prophet, and so on. The two next kings, Jehu and some other guy, another country. And then his Elisha in his stead. In other words, you're done. You're going to graduate. Just do these three things for me, and you're done. Now, whether he got fired because he turned heel from a girl with makeup on, you don't know. You really don't know. We don't know that maybe he overextended himself, exhausted himself, but he yielded and he turned from Jezebel, and that's his last assignment, to take care of these three things and replace himself and pass on the mantle or the anointing to the next generation. And I said in the second message about the power of God being transferred to the next generation. If we don't see the power of God coming down on your kids, my kids, and their kids, should the Lord tarry, the church won't even exist. We are one generation away from a dead church. Now think about that for a second. One generation away from dead church. I know what dead church is. I've been in him. There is a dead church. You said, is that even biblical? Well, of course it is. And Proverbs says, if you wander out of the way of understanding, you'll rest in the congregation of the dead. There's a way of drifting away. You can forfeit the anointing. You can lose out. So God's decreed through prophetess Jane, and I bear witness with my spirit. I had planned on doing this anyway, and when the power conference came, I thought, this is it. This is the time. We have a double portion mantle, a brand new cloak of glory. I'm going to pick it up. Are you going to pick yours up? And I'm going to run with all the strength that works so mightily on the inside of me, and I'm going to pass it to anybody that wants to be a son or a daughter, including my own children. But not excluding spiritual children. I'm so grateful for what God's doing. He's raising up an army. So now in the third message, the third in this series, on the cloak of glory and receiving this double portion mantle as she decreed, as we just decreed, your response to how the Spirit moves will determine your future. How are you responding to the Holy Spirit? How are you responding to God? Responding to the Spirit. We all have choice, writing the notes. Now, I give notes. Honestly, it's more fun to preach without them. Honestly, it is. However, I've been greatly discipled, at least in my mind, I feel like I've received a lot, and I'm still receiving, from Dr. James Morocco, who was my pastor for and still is for 30 years. And he would pass out notes. And I know it's gone electronic, and I think we have all of that as well. You can get them electronic, go to the app, and however you find that, talk to an electronic person. We pass out notes, you know why? So you can fill in the blanks. You go preach it to somebody else. You go back and look at this tomorrow morning. You go look at this tonight and go through it. That's a picture of pushing that word deep down in your heart. Sometimes you hear things and you don't really get it deep down in your spirit. So we all have a choice. Everybody say we have a choice. We all have a choice. And look at this text, because I've already reviewed these. Prophets recognize that Elijah's anointed. They realize now Elijah's gone. It's interesting, the text actually says they watched it. They watched him. They were watching. Verse 15, the company of the prophets were Jericho who were watching. There's always people that are watchers, but they're not doers and receivers. There's always a group of people that sit, and over the years, you've been in church for any length of time, but the same is true with entrepreneurs, the same is true with investors, the same is true with people who can't get a job. You know, that'll always be your story. You can't get a job. It's interesting to me that when I've had people that have come, I feel called to move to Alaska. I'm gonna come and get a job. I said, no problem, God will help you. And so he'll help you. You come up here, we'll help you. They come, the ones that can't find jobs, it's not because there are no jobs, it's because they have no job in them. They don't really, how many applications? Well, I was gonna put one in, but I felt like the Lord just wanted. You get weed lips. I don't know what that is, but I heard Bishop Hook say it once, so it sounds good. Weed lips. You're offending me, Pastor, because I can't get a job. Oh, yeah? Have you fasted for 21 days? Have you put in 100 applications? Have you been in morning prayer crying out to God? Are you a tither? Are you a good? Shut up. Just pretend I'm John Duke for a second. Shut up. Because God has work for you if you'll just do your part to get it. Well, that's beneath me. Well, that might be the problem. My dad used to tell me, if you don't have a job, it's hard to get another one. Just start doing something. Start doing something for the Lord as best you can. And so they're watching. Who we're watching. Christianity is not a spectator sport. If you're going to enter into all that God has, you have to do more than watch. So these prophets recognized Elisha was anointed. Now, I picked on that a little bit. You can see with spiritual eyes when God's power, God's enablement, God's anointing, God's favor is on somebody. You can see it clearly with spiritual eyes. And they request Elijah to be able to go look for Elijah. And he says, no. Now, you read commentaries on this, and they're like, well, they thought that he left, but his body was somewhere. And then other people say that, well, no, they were just jealous and they wanted to receive what he had and they were hoping to be able to find him. It's clear that they saw the anointing and it's clear that they saw the Jordan part hither and thither, King James, but it's not clear that they didn't see the man of God ascend in the chariots of fire. They didn't see that or they wouldn't have asked, I think. And so he says, no, don't do it. Young prophets from Jericho. And the people of the city in the next story that we read, they told Elijah that the water was bad. Elijah took action and prophesied. And then the third section that we read is where this youth group comes. When I say youth group, I don't mean a church youth group, obviously, or maybe not so obviously. I don't allow mocking when I do youth services. I don't allow it. And I've seen it over and over and over. And I will tell you, I was just in a church. And while the power of God is coming down, and I don't mean like, well, in a measure, just like before. And as that's happening, miracles are taking place. God's power is being put on display. I look up in the balcony and I see three youth slapping each other, horsing around and mocking. Oh, oh. And I'm like, oh, you're in trouble. And so the service started running and the pastor took it over. I went straight up to the balcony. I said, hey, y'all come here. Where's your mom and dad? I said, yeah, listen, don't do that. You're cursing yourself. And they just looked at me. And I saw the youth leader there. I said, what are you doing? I said, okay, don't let youth do that. He said, don't let me crush you. It's okay. I mean, it's just kind of like Pastor Daniel comes with a blue laser beam shooting out of his eyes. Hey. I've been accused of that. I toned it down. I pat him on the back. I said, don't let me crush you. And don't let your kids curse themselves like that. Don't you allow mocking. I don't allow it here. That's a demonic activity. And so these youths mock Elisha. They jeer him as the word. And he returns in kind by cursing them. Fantastic. Some bears come out and kill them all. Pretty intense punishment, discipline there. Look at Roman numeral 3. There are three responses here that we see. Three responses. I want you to find where you fit in. I want you to find where, and maybe you have a mixture. But how you respond to the Holy Spirit will determine your future. If you're going to walk in double portion, you're going to walk in a new mantle, you're going to see God pour out his Spirit upon you and your family and pass that on to your children's children if you have them, if you're a single person, walking in power, loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength until he brings you a spouse, or maybe living that way the rest of your life. We preached on sex and the truth about sex and marriage last Sunday. Get the message. Super offensive and true. The first thing you see right here Let's go find your master. He's like, no. So if you think of Elijah as the spirit saying no, they're like, yes, let's. He's like, no. I know people like that. They want to do their own thing. They don't really want to listen to God. They don't really want to obey his word. They ignore him. They ignore God, and they do their own thing. Have you been ignoring God lately? When he tells you to do something, do you force your way? I'm feeling the love over here. Do you force your way and say, no, I'm doing it anyway? Because if you do that, you know, he's kind. Somebody said the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. Yeah, he is, mostly. But there's a time, aren't you glad that your Heavenly Father gives you cracks when you need them, sends you out to the woodshed? I have forced the hand of God, or tried to force the hand of God. It's a better way to say that. It's a bad idea. So it's when you really want something. You really want it. Oh, I want that so bad. I prayed, the prophet had this word. I had a vision. I have this thing. And you're like, there it is. Oh, there it is. And then you go for it, and the Lord's like, wait. You're like, no, no, this is it. He's like, you feel a check in your spirit. You have somebody come alongside. You said, are you sure about that? And you push that aside, and you're like, no, I really want that. And you force your way in, and you ignore what God says. You will always end up in pain. And 3 days, they look, it's a waste of time. There's times when we can't get our way. There's times when we don't get what we want. And even though it's a plan from God, okay, prophetic word, you see it in scripture, you had a vision, you had a dream, it's confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses, but then it comes and it seems like that, but you feel a check, and then you have one of your loving friends or your spouse or someone, or you hear a message like what I'm telling you right now, and you force it. That's what I'm talking about. And when you do that, you'll end up in trouble, because the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. Spirit says no. And there are times when he says no. There are three answers to prayer. Somebody said, God didn't answer my prayer. Yes, he did. He's in process of answering it, but there are three answers. And they're all answers. Yes. Everybody say yes. We say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you. Yeah, there's yes. Is your yes? He says yes. He also says no. He says no. You know what's encouraging? That God can say no. You can ask for anything and he can say no. I'm not sure if you listen to him. The prophet said, listen, there's no. You know what the third answer is? Wait. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Those are the three answers to prayer. Our own thing can become a distraction. Gosh, I've done that more times than I care to admit. Got distracted from the primary thing. And it is a vicious cycle, I have to say. The more you pray, the more answers to prayer you have. And sometimes the answers to prayer and the blessing can become a distraction to what he wants you to do, which is stay in the place of prayer. Talk to anybody that really prays. They see such breakthrough. And then the breakthrough and the blessing and the deluge of all of the blessings of God pull you away from the primary thing. I just sometimes want to pray for people to have a lot of problems. Our own thing can be a distraction. It become a waste of time. Yeah, you've been saved 40 years. Great. I'm glad you're saved 40 years. But you're still a jerk. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to someone else. You saved 20 years and you've got the same stinking thinking, rotten attitude, sour, bitter, angry, critical spirit. So what if you're, I think you need to get really saved. Pastor Karen, I'm not even looking at you. I'm going over here. Something that you, being born again is one thing, and you must be born again. And if you've never done that, I'm going to give you an opportunity in a moment. But then you must be sanctified. What's sanctified? It means to be set apart, sanctified, to daily reckon the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and live as a new creature, a new creation in God. Sanctification. It is a lifetime daily process, reckoning the death and the power of the resurrection in your life daily. And you can turn away from that. You can turn. And I've known people that have given their heart to Jesus and they're in the same place that they were when they used to weep over the word, but now it's just become tradition. And it's not that they don't love God. They love God, but they're not willing to slay their bad attitude, not willing to renew their mind. They're not willing to pick up their cross and follow him. They're not willing to turn the other cheek. They're bitter. They're angry. They're mad at their dad. They're mad that they were bottle fed and breastfed instead of breastfed. They're mad that they were dropped. They're mad that they're mad at this. They're mad at that. They're mad at the president. It doesn't matter who the president is. They're mad. They're Monday morning quarterbacks, always irritated, always, oh, it's I'm black. I'm white. On and on and on. Race cards. I've seen it all. Don't have a victim mentality. Be the victor that God made you to be. Can you give a big amen? Amen. And so these guys, they wanted to do their own thing. You got to hear. Look at Roman numeral 3. It's that first point, first box or 3. We must hear what the Spirit is saying. For if we persist in doing what we want to do, He will let us. And so we will learn to hear his voice. You got to learn to hear his voice. And we can seek the help of the Spirit as a result of this comes miracles. And that's what happens with this water. It's this poisoned, noxious water. It's poisoned water and the land is unproductive. You know, one of the reasons the water flows so well from this building, I'm convinced, is because we prayed over the wellheads. And there was a time when it didn't produce the kind of water that we want, you know, the right flow. You remember that, Mitch? It's that wellhead right there, or it's the other one? Anyway, it's one of the two. And they were like, well, we didn't have the pump wasn't quite working, or the pump failed, or whatever. Man, I was so concerned. I came over here in the middle of the night and did some Holy Ghost stuff and just prayed. They put another pump in there. Imagine that. That thing worked exactly like we needed to. And it always will. Can you say amen? Amen. Had a wonderful meeting with the fire department today. And we do believe that we have a clear path through to victory. Of course, we believed that before the meeting. We believed that before we started the building. Can you say amen? But you just continue to pray. I know that's as a result of prayer, and I honor the fire department. I thank God for them. Chief Don and Jeff and others, they've been gracious to us. We're so thankful to be in our building with a temporary occupancy. Soon, we will have a permanent occupancy. Can you say amen? We have some things to do. Continue to pray. If you seek the Holy Spirit's help, the result will be a miracle. So they go to the prophet and they're like, man, there's noxious water. There's poison water and the land's unproductive. And what does he do? He gets this. And don't make a doctrine out of this. Amen. If you need help with your well, don't get a bowl and put, I don't know, honestly, I might do all of it. I would pray, get a word from God. But sometimes he speaks to you to do specific things. I was in Hawaii. I think I was in Hawaii. We had our the flow test on the hydrant, and I wish I had that video on the screen right now. It's hysterical. I'll have to show it. So Hank went at some ungodly hour in the morning in prayer. I asked him, go there, take a quart of anointing oil, and dump it all over the fire hydrant. So he went and he sent me a picture, and all you see is whoosh, and you see the oil spraying because the wind is blowing, and it's glug, 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 glug. We have the whole thing on video. It's a beautiful video. We'll have the media team, I'll send it to you and we'll show you. You know, and we had the fire flow test and it didn't work. Or did it? Because interestingly enough, things have changed in the structure of water, fire flow and supply and water, and Wasilla is putting in pumps and different things are taking place. So actually now, soon, there's a greater flow of water. It just didn't happen where we wanted it to, but I do believe that that oil over that, give me a high five. Come on, I believe that water being poured over that, it just didn't happen where we wanted it to, but maybe it's happening now. I'm a believer. Anybody else believe? You'll get specific actions from the Holy Spirit to do those things, but don't make a doctrine out of it. Do you know where this came from? How many of you know where that came from? Any former Catholics? Anybody from the Catholic Church? Somebody said, I'm a recovering Catholic. Well, welcome to Kings. We're glad you're here. Go, come on, go like this. All right. You know where that came from? That came from a priest who was in the midst of an exorcism, casting out a devil. And while he was doing that, the Lord spoke to him and said, make the sign of the cross over yourself. So he did. And there was a release of faith and something happened and that person got set free. They then took that and made it like a thing. Now, I don't know if it's, I don't know where that fits in their doctrine or if it's doctrine or it's just something you have to do. But I mean, how many of you know they do that? Specific actions. There are specific actions that the Holy Spirit will tell you to do. I've seen people pour oil over the sale of their house, their sign for sale. I've seen people do that. Boom, house sells within 3 days. I've seen women in the church who are praying for their Nabal, praying for their husband, and they grease his shoes with oil. There's all kinds of stories. John G. Lake passing through a community. How many of you know who John G. Lake was? Great revivalist. Planted 550 churches in Africa before there was the internet or cell phones. Powerfully used by God. And was used to start these healing rooms. They've been revived today. And caused Spokane, Washington to receive the healthiest city in America. They had this move of God where all kinds of people got healed. So John G. Lake passed through this town preaching. And back in that day, you didn't have so many hotels in these backwater towns and places where they had revival. So you would stay at like the pastor's house. I mean, we still do that from time to time. You'd stay at a leader's house. So John G. Lake stayed at this lady's house and the husband didn't exactly serve God. And he put him in their master bed with clean sheets and hooked them up and did his laundry. And so as the story goes, she didn't change his sheets. And I think she got him some new underwear, I think the whole story is. How many of you ever read this before? And gave him the new pair of underwear and got rid of his old underwear, but the old underwear went to Nabal, went to her husband. Who didn't know the difference being Nabal, didn't know when he had clean shorts on or not. So he started wearing John G. Lake's shorts, and he all of a sudden started having a hunger for God. He all of a sudden started thinking about the Lord, reading the Bible, got gloriously saved. And they said, that's a true story. I'm telling you, the anointing is transferable, and God will give you unique ideas, and don't dismiss it, Joshua. My name ain't Josh. I ain't talking about you. It's an illustration from the Old Testament, Bubba. I mean, can you imagine if he dismissed that? Reason is the guillotine of your faith. So when the Lord speaks you to do something that's unusual, get a bowl, put some salt in it, sprinkle it in and say, yay, no more noxious water. Which is really the next point. Speak the word. Everybody say, speak the word. The word has power. When you witness, share the word of God. Praise God for your testimony. Share your testimony. But please give them scripture. It has power that your words don't have. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is not even the kind of language that we use. It has power. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. All who believe on his name. All who call on his name shall be saved. To them that believed in his name, he gave them the power to become children of God. Power. Belief. Believe. faith. To them that believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. To them that believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. To them that believe, and to believe is to believe that it not only exists, but to receive him, to repent. That's what it means. Even the demons believe, and I feel the Holy Ghost now. To them that believe, he gave them the right to become children of God. What are you talking about, Pastor? I heard everybody's a child of God. No, everybody is a child of God either. You're a child of God. When you're born again, you must receive Jesus. Jesus, you must believe in the name of Jesus, which means repent of your sin, believe that he died on a cross, rose again from the grave. You must repent, which means to live differently. And I will say this, if you say you've prayed the sinner's prayer, but your life hasn't changed, and then you wonder, I tried Christianity. No, you didn't really repent. To really repent is to bring godly sorrow, realize you crucified him, realize you killed him, realize you did it, you make it personal, and you ask him to forgive you for all the wrongs, all the lies, all the theft, all the lust, all the greed, and you receive him. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is then that you become a child of God, and not before. Scripture. Speak the word. Everybody say, speak the word. You speak the word over your physical body for healing. You speak the word over your finances. I'm done being broke. I just like that. Poverty and lack, you don't live here. Try that. Poverty and lack, you do not live here. I am not connected to poverty and lack. I'm connected to the King of Kings. I'm born again. I'm blood washed. He lives on the inside of me. I live according to his word. He's performing and perfecting everything concerning me. Ah! I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the lender, not... Hey! Come on, somebody! Speak the word. Speak the
word.
Speak the
word.
Quit your belly aching complaining and go, well, you know, the way who cares how you see it? Colossians 2 and 8, I think. Don't let anyone spoil you through vain deceit, the rudiments of this world and traditions of men. You can be spoiled. You know what spoiled is? It means rotten. There's a lot of rotten folks sitting on pews because they've agreed with philosophy, pop psychology, which is mostly what's preached. Mostly what's preached in America is pop psychology. It'll never get you free. Speak the
word.
Come on, shout to God all across this place. This third group, the youth. What does that mean, Pastor? You can oppose the Holy Spirit, but you're going to die. You will end up getting mauled. You mean by bears? I don't know, maybe. I came out of my house two mornings ago, early. Start my car, it was 8 degrees or something. Came out of my house just gangbusters, you know, just, just my coffee's brewing. I'm going to head to morning prayer. I'm going to go start the car so Queen Karen can have a warm car. Coffee's brewing. She's coming downstairs any minute. I hustle downstairs, and I pass my vehicle, and I'm just about to get to my car, and boom, there's some bony legs right there. Big old moose, big one, on the other side of the car. I'm like, hey. I stop, and it's looking at me. Its ears are back, bad sign. I'm like, go on. He just looks at me and said, go on, go on. Go on, Jesus' name. I don't want to text and say I can't come because there's moose. There's a moose out of my front yard. No, that can be real, but I just believe that it's my yard. It's my moose. Go on. Hit the road. I got to go to prayer. I have dominion over you. You need to leave right now. I didn't say all that, but I know all that. So I said, go on. Now, if it came after me, I would have determined that it's time to go back inside, and then I would have prayed. Amen. But in this case... It just kind of like, with all his bony legs, walked off. I told everybody in the house, there's a moose out there. It's quite a thing. You come within 10 feet of a moose, they look at you like, what's up? Cursings and blessings are real. Let me say that again. Curses and blessings are real. You said, Pastor, I've never been taught that. Well, it's been a while since I've taught on the curse. And so perhaps I need to bring that here. Curses are real. You can curse yourself. And blessings are real. You can bless yourself. You can read through the Old Testament. You can read through the New. You'll see that there are curses and there are blessings. I want the blessings of God. Amen. Mocking, jeering releases a curse. Dishonor releases a curse. You mock the Spirit of God, you're going to end up really hurting yourselves. Like I've said before, I never let my kids mock, at least knowingly. I didn't know they were doing it if they did do it. And I never let my children, neither did my wife. Like my children are not allowed to curse my wife or curse me or talk back. And I've been accused of being a little bit too intense at times. Might be true, Pastor Gill, but both of my kids are serving God. So I was a little overboard, true. However, I'm very grateful that God helped us, and it's still, and you might have done your best you can with your kids, and then they turn and they don't serve God. But raise a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. He'll not depart from it. Stand on that and beat the fool out of the devil with that. I raised him in the word. They're coming back. They're coming back. They're coming back. Come on, someone say they're coming back. But don't you allow that. Don't allow it in your house. Don't watch it on TV. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Mark 3 and 28. Worship team, would you come? Responding to the Holy Spirit. How are you responding to the Holy Spirit? Blaspheming the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you attribute to the Holy Spirit what is the devil, and attribute to the devil what is the Holy Spirit, you're in big trouble. I'll just tell you how I've seen some stuff in church. I've seen some stuff outside of church. Devils used to be my best friends. I can smell them. I can smell addiction. I can smell it. It has a stench, is what I would call it. The Spirit of God, there's a fragrance from heaven too. Dude, never smell a microphone. You got to be careful of that. Don't ever smell a mic. You think you would have smelled a demon filled with people's. Anyway. And so it's sometimes when the Spirit of God comes with power, people do unusual things. Things happen. Don't make sense to the natural mind. You say, well, how do you know which one is which? Honestly, let's say this for pastors that watch this broadcast, and I'm just about done. If it bothers me as the pastor, I'm leading the service, I'm in charge. If it bothers me, I stop it. It is that simple. You say, what about all the laughing? Doesn't usually bother me. But there has been times when it has. What about weeping and crying? That doesn't really bother me, but at times it has. Sometimes you say, well, how do you know what's the spirit and what's the flesh? Listen, I'm just gonna help some of my pastor friends out there. How do you know what's the spirit and what's the flesh? Because if you shut everything down, then you have no move of the spirit. So what do? Do you shut everything down? Do you shut everything down and just play it safe? Okay, but a lot of people do because they don't want to have a problem, don't want to be out of order. Let me tell you how it is. I believe that God's big enough to sort it out. And I know there might be people that fall down and it's their flesh. What do you do about that? Zero. I could care less. And then other times, listen, when I pray for you, you don't have to fall down. I don't need a courtesy drop. I don't get my confidence from you falling down. I get my confidence from the word, from the Spirit of God. I get my confidence in the prayer closet. I don't get my confidence by whether I see a miracle manifested. I know they're going to be manifested. It's going to happen. If it didn't happen yet, it'll happen soon. So what do? We allow for the Holy Spirit to have his way. And do you have people manifesting the flesh? Yes. What do you do about that? Let God sort it out. And sometimes I will help them. If it bothers me, I'm helping them. So if somebody starts, yeah, we're going to minister to you in a special way. Back in the side, Hank and his lovely wife will take you in the back. We're going to minister to you. You need to get rid of the spirit of the chicken. But when you allow for a move of the Spirit of God, you'll get the genuine too. Like, where's Sister No More Cancer? Where's she at? Where's she at?
Hallelujah.
How you feeling? Stand up. Oh, look at that smiling face. Look at that. Look at you. You look different. Look at. You went out and ran?
I did.
You went out and ran?
I did.
Can I run with you?
Yeah.
Come on, let's run. Okay. Oh, they said you couldn't do this, huh? Oh, they said you couldn't do this, huh? Oh, come on. God's the healer. Come on, God. Who's the healer? And if you don't allow for a move of the Spirit of God, then you will never have that. You will never have... Don't go crazy on me, girl. You will never have that. Well, we're just concerned about people in the flesh. Well, you'll never have somebody that couldn't run, had a broken back. Wow. You'll never have that. I think I'm out of shape. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. Yeah, watch out for having a hardened heart. I got my last point. Stand up on your feet. Be careful not to have a hardened heart. That's beautiful. Now we might get Pentecostal and start playing organ keys and stuff. How are you responding to the Holy Spirit? Don't do your own thing. Don't insist on your own way. If you insist on your own way, Romans says you're going to end up reprobate. Be open to God. Be open to Him speaking you, giving you ideas of how to bring healing to the water, which represents everything in your life that needs healing. And speak the word. The Lord says, bam. What does the Lord say? Get the word over every circumstances, over every situation. Quit believing all the lies. Stop it. Stop. Anything can be healed. Anything can be raised from the dead. There's nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing. But he needs faith. He needs somebody to flow through. If you're constantly doing your own way, you're certainly not going to be the one that brings healing to the water. And if you're constantly sitting on the side of the critics, go on up, you bald head. You know what they were saying? First of all, one, but the greatest prophets in the world are bald. I think they're saying that. And number two, all the bald guys say, hallelujah. All the bald women say, hallelujah. Come on. Pastor Karen told me to say that. So sorry. Go on up, you bald head. Here's what they're saying. They're saying, oh, let's see you ascend like your master did. Let's see the chariots of fire come and sweep you up off the so head. Oh, we've heard about that. We've heard about that. Go ahead. Let's see you go up. And literally, their jeering, their mocking brought a curse, and they were bald. How are you responding to the Holy Spirit? There's such pressure. Listen to me, I know. There's pressure on pastors and leaders to just behave yourself. John, don't behave yourself. You don't have to be crazy, but you be you. Be the most anointed you that there is and make room for the Holy Spirit. I'm not Rodney Howard Brown. I'm not Randy Clark. I'm not Bill Johnson. I'm none of those guys. I'm me. I'm me, you're you, and if we'll all just be who we're called to be and allow for the Holy Spirit to move, we'll see a great outpouring. Can you give a big amen? Can you give a better amen? Lift your hands to heaven and just receive. Come on, declare, I've got a double portion mantle. Say it. I have a double portion mantle. Hallelujah. Go ahead and put up my declaration, and we're going to close. Put up that declaration one more time. Read it with me, with everything that's within you, with all that's within you. Are you ready? Set, Go. We decree today we are crossing over into our new season of breakthrough here at Kings. We receive a new mantle for a new day. We are making way for the King of Glory to come here in Wasilla and throughout this state. Leviathan is under our feet. Resistance is broken and a fresh anointing is here. We decree we are yoke breakers and curse destroyers, because the Holy Ghost lives in us. Souls will be saved. Bodies will be healed. Families will be reconciled. Prodigals will come home. This building will be paid off in record time because of all the financial miracles of all the people. We receive our double portion mantle from this point forward. Jesus be glorified in all we do and say. In your name we decree it all. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. If you've not right with God, it's a closing moment. You want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time or make a recommitment. You say, that's me. Lift your hand. You want to get right with Jesus? You want to become a child of God? Pray with me right out loud, right where you are. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place and to rise again from the grave for me. Come into my heart, wash me and cleanse me. I repent of my sin. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven. I'm going to bless you. And if you want prayer, I want you to come. And we're just going to flow just like that. All right? Father, thank you. Fill these. Fill these. Awaken your bride, awaken your church, that our response to your spirit would be pleasing to you, that we would see miracles breaking out. Lord, forgive us for where we've grieved you, where we perhaps even mocked things that we didn't understand. Come on, some of you need to repent for that. Stop it. You don't understand it? Just shut your mouth and pray. I pray a mighty move of the Spirit of God. You come and have your way in here tonight, the rest of the night, tonight, tomorrow, the weeks to come. Mark us with glorious visitation. Thank you for the great harvest. Thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit. Thank you for the double portion mantle. Thank you that Leviathan's under our feet. Thank you for breakthrough, healing, miracles, souls, prodigals. Thank you. Paid off all that. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Put your best hand clap together for God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.